Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lost in the Static. I am Scott Murray, and with me, as always, as much as I try and try and try to get rid of him, is Josh Hadley.
Fuck you, then. Do the Adam and Eve promo, prick.
Sweet. Go to Adam and Eve. Use the promo code DROME. No.
That works, too.
That works, too. But use the promo code STATIC, and you get 50% off of a single item. You get free shipping in the United States. You get a free mystery gift, 3 free DVDs, and the love of knowing that you've helped out Lost in the Static and all of that.
But if you don't want to spend your money on sex toys, you also could go to drivethroughrpg.com and get a systemless settings bundle. Ha! I did it!
I'm so proud of you. It's not like you haven't been practicing or anything. But nonetheless, systemless settings bundle from our friend Al down in Appleton, Wisconsin. And just tell him that Lost in the Static sent you, and you get a free light bulb joke with it.
It'll make sense
when you hear the joke.
Yes. So, okay, tonight I want to talk about celebrities. Now, there's this new documentary that just came out called Celebrity with a dollar sign.
S-E-L-L, basically, yeah.
Yeah, and it's all about the paparazzi culture and all that. Now, I got to say right off the bat, the documentary does go into a lot of history, but there's a very obvious conflict of interest in this.
Okay.
Now, there's one paparazzi that keeps popping up in this as being like, no, I don't do those sleazy tactics. I don't go through the star's garbage. You know, I go through their PR agents. I'm totally ethical. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I noticed his name. I'm like, wait a minute. That's the director of this documentary.
Huh?
The director basically makes himself out to be the bastion of what a paparazzi should be while shitting on all of his competition. But he doesn't make that known in the documentary that, yes, I am making this. I just noticed, same name. Oh, you son of a bitch. That's kind of an obvious conflict of interest, isn't it?
Slight one, yes. So this is less of a documentary. And
it's more of a smear piece on everyone but him.
I was going to say a little piece of yellow journalism, sure.
But why are we so obsessed with celebrity culture? You know, why do we care what Angelina Jolie had for breakfast or if Kim Kardashian got her toenails done today or anything like that? Why does Star and OK and People and magazines like that? I saw one statistic that said one issue of People magazine sells more than Time, Newsweek, The Economist, The Week, and Mother Jones put together.
Because our lives are boring. And if we had fame and money, this has always been the weird bit for me. If you have fame and money, people give shit to you. If you can afford a Cartier watch, Cartier will give one to you.
Look at the swag bag at the freaking Oscars.
Yeah,
I think somebody a year or two ago just like did the value of the shit they were giving away to people who can afford it was something like $2,000 worth of stuff. Are you kidding? These people don't need it. How about you take that, you know, that iPod and all this shit and go give it to one of the Goodwills in the area? You know, help somebody out. But what am I, a stupid hippie liberal, right?
Yes.
But answer this to me. Why do we care more about what Brad Pitt did to his, if Brad Pitt frosted his hair, than about whether Barack Obama is taking away our freedoms?
Because our lives are boring. Brad Pitt is really cute. And oh my God, he frosted his hair. Look, it's fucking adorable. Politics is boring. Running this country and the important stuff in this world is boring. When's the last time you sat down and watched C-SPAN?
Well, I don't have cable, so for me, quite a while. But
right, but
I probably actually would if I had cable.
See, No, I can't. It's boring. I'm sorry. The important stuff, the really important stuff in life is boring as all get out. My job, going to work every day so that I can pay the bills, is boring. But, Britney Spears freaking out in her van and shaving her hair, it's kind of exciting. Maybe if I had that kind of money and that kind of notoriety, then I could do crazy shit like that and get away with it. My life wouldn't be boring.
That just seems like it's almost like a drug. You're just using a cipher to escape reality.
Okay.
Well,
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, okay. Well, yes.
That said, then, why is so much more invested in this than, say, even investigative journalism? For instance, News Corp and Viacom and all these large media conglomerates, they spend way more money. I mean, a disproportionate amount of money on entertainment reporting and going through Britney Spears' trash to see what brand of condom or the boy that she brought home that night used and whatnot, than they do looking into a political scandal or trying to find out what's in the Patriot Act or something.
You answered your own question when you opened the show. There is much more money invested in this because People Magazine outsells Time and Newsweek and The Economist.
So then who's to blame for that? The companies or the people that buy these?
The people that buy these. This is pretty cut and dry. I'm dead serious. If it didn't sell, it wouldn't be made.
But then why do people care so much when they know that it's more often than not photoshopped, retouched photos, that the stories aren't real, that the photo, or the caption that goes with the photo is not accurate? Isn't it almost tabloid culture? It's to me, they're different than tabloid culture like Bat Boy and shit.
Here's another tack, okay? Not only is our life boring, not only is the important stuff like politics boring, it's also very scary. Okay, war, not boring.
It should be scary.
War, not boring. Fucking scary. But it's happening over there. It's happening across an ocean and in a desert in an environment that I'm not familiar with and I don't have to worry about because that's my friend Jacob's job. He went into the army. He can worry about war. If I sit and dwell on all of the bad crap, if I sit and dwell on what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri, and the fact that Pakistanis and Muslims from Israel came over and taught the protesters at Ferguson how to deal with tear gas. Let that sink in for a minute. People from the Middle East came to the U.S. and went, look, we're used to this shit. Let us teach you how. Okay? If I dwelled on that, and if I dwelled on the fact that riots in Missouri happened because a white cop shot a black kid, that's big, it's scary, and it's in my backyard. Okay? This celebrity stuff sells gangbusters and has probably spiked in sales since our latest depression and since our latest economic downturn. I wouldn't doubt it if People Magazine and Us Weekly and TMZ are seeing profits go through the roof, because it's just like smoking. It's just like gambling.
It's a vice.
It's a vice. Not only is it a vice, but it's an easy vice, and it's a vice that a lot of people see are victimless.
Except it's not victimless. Let's talk about some of like the tactics. For instance, the paparazzi. Now, back in the 1950s, and I'm not saying this was a better time, okay? But back in the 1950s, you started to see when the paparazzi started to... It's actually, that term comes from paparazzo. He was an Italian photographer who was the one who kind of pioneered all this.
Yes.
So his spawn are the paparazzi. But it started with, you would only get the shots that the studio wanted you to get. because obviously photography was expensive and whatnot then. It was all controlled. So in a way, this is kind of the paparazzi are the Wild West, and they're entrepreneurs on their own. Fine, fair enough. But they are so sleazy. They, in that documentary, they've got one guy who just is the epitome to me of everything that is wrong with a person that has no empathy for anyone else. To me, he's a psychopath.
Okay.
He will do anything to get the photo. He will break into your house and plant hidden cameras. He will hack into your cell phone to look at your private photos. He will stalk your kids and wait for you to pick them up, even with a restraining order. At one point, one of the stars got a restraining order against him that he had to be 1,000 feet away at all times. So he just got a telephoto lens and was shooting them across the roof. He actually has a comment in there, "You're not going to stop me." And she's like, "What's the difference between him and a stalker?" And one of their legal analysts says, "Nothing, really. Paparazzi is legal stalking."
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Why is this not regulated then? It's stalking the same way as a guy stalking an ex-girlfriend.
Let me put it to you this way. And this is the excuse that I've heard. It's not one that I agree with. I want to put that out right away. I don't agree with this, but this is the excuse I've heard. You got famous as a movie. Okay, Josh Hadley. You get internet famous and you break out somehow. We end up doing a Lost in the Static movie or more likely a Radiodrome movie, and you're a breakout star. You knew going in, you knew becoming an artist, that one of the consequences of success is having to deal with these people.
No, that is a sense of entitlement from those other people. I'm going to use Harlan Ellison's words here. What you are entitled to is the work, the book, the movie, the album, whatever. That is what you are entitled to as a fan. Anything else is if I choose to grant it. If I give you an autograph, that is my choice. You are not entitled to it. I see so many people on the internet. They'll meet like a famous person at a restaurant or whatnot. "That son of a bitch wouldn't sign my napkin. He just wanted to spend time with his kids. What a fucking asshole." You are not entitled to anything but the work. So no, I do not agree that with this fucking bullshit, and I know you said you didn't either, with this facetious argument that this comes with being famous. No, it might come with it, but it shouldn't.
But you knew going in, this is a modern thing. It's the way it is. You knew. You accepted it as part of the deal.
Except, like I said, I don't think it's part of the deal. When you become, say, an A-list actor, you were there to make movies and ply your craft. What you do with your wife out on a date or taking your kids to Six Flags is nobody else's fucking business, especially when it comes to the stalking of breaking into people's houses, climbing their fences. I mean, one guy plants hidden microphones in stars' bedrooms to the point where they have to spend thousands of dollars a week in sweeping services just to make sure they're not being bugged. How is this not illegal?
NSA probably appreciates the help.
It'd be funny if he stumbled across an NSA bug. "Hey, get that shit out of here. I want mine in here." But you know what I'm saying? That why are we endorsing these people? Because these people, there's a reason that these people go to these tactics. Because people will pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for just one photograph can fetch up to $500,000.
Yeah.
They're incentivized to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And then the magazines are just like, well, just like a drug dealer, "I'm giving the people what they want."
Yeah.
I'm just giving you what you want.
Look, Mr. Cruz. Look, Tom Hanks. Can't find a nicer guy in Hollywood.
I've heard that.
I've heard that, and I've interviews that I've heard him in and stuff like that. He seems to be like one of the nicest guys out there in the world. And I'm willing to bet that if you or I, as a fan, ran into him somewhere at a restaurant and we were polite, I'm willing to bet he would be polite back and just be very nice. Granted, I've spent time in LA visiting friends, and I used to have family out there and whatnot. I had a friend who, one of my sister's ex-husbands was a Marlboro man.
Okay.
He was a model, stuff like that.
Did he die of lung cancer?
No. No, I wish he would have, because he was scum. But
that's nice to know.
But nonetheless, he wanted to be impressive when the rest of the family came out, so he got tables at the restaurant to be at. He got tables at the place, and yeah, there were celebrities. And I'll admit there was one, and I'm not going to bother telling you where or who, because I respect privacy. But I went up and I said, "Thank you, sir, for the years of entertainment. It's an honor to meet you. Enjoy your meal. I'm sorry to bother you." And this particular celebrity was like, "That's no problem. I understand. And thank you for being nice about it." And he was nice, you know, nice back, answered a couple of questions. And it was a short, formal, polite interaction.
But I think that's the rarer exception.
That is the rarer exception. But that's what I'm saying is, the reason that people go after them like sharks, the reason why people are getting microphones planted in their bedroom and stuff like that, is because people will buy. It's because the incentives are out there. And it is, the problem is not the celebrities. And the problem, you may fight me on this one, but the problem is not the paparazzi.
No, it's the people incentivizing them, which exactly. Is the people. But I mean, at the same time, the paparazzi are like junkies. They have one guy who says such a disturbingly honest statement in this documentary. Says it right into camera. There's a reason he doesn't have kids, doesn't have a girlfriend, and never takes a day off. He's like, "What if the one day I decide to go and spend at my daughter's birthday party, that's the day Kim Kardashian starts throwing lettuce at a restaurant, then I miss it. I would never forgive myself." He's like, "This is a 24-hour-a-day job. You always have to be on waiting for something to happen." Do you know what that is? That's called a parasite.
Yeah.
A parasite that is completely 100% reliant on its host. And these people think, I mean, at one point, they actually were getting arrested for breaking traffic laws because Britney Spears was trying to get away from them, and they were chasing her, running through red lights and causing accidents because, "Gotta get the photo, gotta get the photo, gotta get the photo!" You're literally endangering other people's lives because Britney Spears might say something.
Yeah.
That, to me, is sickening, Scott. It's disgusting.
And that's what I'm saying is, you know, for every nice guy out there, there's 10 absolute scumbags. And these 10 absolute scumbags make their living in Hollywood doing shit like that. The only way that we're going to stop them, because you have scumbags like the one that's like, "You are not going to stop me." Because we have people like that.
You can get a restraining order. I will find a way around that restraining order. Oh, I can't be this close to your kid? Well, then I'll get the fucking telephoto lens.
Yeah, and that's the only way that we are going to stop this. And I have a feeling that for most of our audience, we're preaching to the choir here. But the only way that you're going to stop it is kill the incentives. Kill the incentives and you kill the paparazzi.
Well, one of the big questions I have then is, when these illegal things are done, when you find the bug in your bedroom or you find that they're trespassing on your property to take a photo of you, Jennifer Lopez in this documentary says, "Our lawyer told us it's not worth suing them."
No, it's
because
not.
And that's the problem. They know they can get away with it. Now, if one of these celebrities would just say, "You know what? No, I'm going to see you do jail time. I'm going to take your fucking house, and I'm going to make sure you never work in this industry again, and I don't care what it costs me."
They have.
That may send, not in America, they haven't. In the UK, I'll get to that in a minute. The UK is different. In America, not one celebrity has done that yet to any of these magazines. That would send a chilling effect of a message that I think needs to be sent, but they're all, it's not worth it. Now, in the UK, J.K. Rowling successfully did it. Elton John successfully did it, because they don't have the First Amendment over there. That's what these scumbags constantly ply as. my First Amendment right. No, the First Amendment does not apply when you are invading someone else's privacy or infringing on their freedoms.
See, and we're all hoping it does, because not only are the pop... Anyway, I'm not going to go there. Well, the UK also... The UK... The English fan, for the most part, I can't say this of all English, Scottish, Welsh, and Northern Irish fans that I've spoken with, but it's there's a very different social atmosphere of acceptability. Okay, you will never ever see a proud Englishman go running up to William or his or Kate. You will never see them go running up to Kate Middleton and, oh my God, you're a princess. You're a princess. Oh my God, will you sign this, princess? No, no. It's, you approach royalty in a very stately way and in a very scripted way, and you address them in a very socially scripted way. And the same goes with celebrity. That's why when the Beatles happened over there, and they ended up with the throngs of screaming girls, not only in the U.S., but in the U.K. and such. That's why it was such a shock to them. Because celebrity is very, very different. When Kiwis come up here for Dragon Con, and you end up with these throngs of fans and hangers-on and almost parasitic-type people, it's an absolute shock, because there is... I can tell, outside of the U.S., there is a very, very different view of celebrity. Now, they have their celebrity, and they have their royal watchers, and they have, you know, they have the tabloid trash just like we do. Don't get me wrong. But I can tell you that most of their tabloid trash is buying their stuff from American photographers.
Well, you also have a weird difference, and I don't know if this is an ethical thing, because I would think it would be the opposite of the way it is. But for whatever reason, the UK does not have the First Amendment, as I pointed out. Yet they are much more apt to make up blatant lies about a celebrity than in America, where they could cloak that as the First Amendment. Wouldn't you think that would be the opposite? Because that's like when Elton John sued, it was because one of Rupert Murdoch's papers was outright lying about him and just making, quote, facts up about him, and he was able to successfully do that in court. He's like, no American magazine's ever done that.
Right.
That should technically be flopped, shouldn't it?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think American papers, tabloid or not, could get away with straight up making up facts, with the exception of the Weekly World News, which everybody knew.
But they still do lie a lot. This documentary actually is quite revealing what it shows about, like, people and star and that, what they do, just how much Photoshop is done on any photograph. They'll remove any kind of blemish. They'll change the lighting, the tone, like a whole bunch of red carpet stuff at, like, the Oscars or the Emmys. Yeah. They add people in the background to make it look more crowded than it was.
Oh, yeah.
And you just... You know, I mean, one of these people, they show them touching up a photo. They're like, this is the original. This is what gets printed in the paper. It's probably 85 to 90% Photoshopped or touched up.
For sure.
Yet the people go like, oh, my God, look at how beautiful she is. And you go, you realize she didn't look that beautiful in the actual photograph, that what you're looking at is all fake. So why do you eat it up?
Same reason why they eat up fashion models and advertising and everything else that's Photoshop. Nothing you see anywhere ever, unless you can reach out and touch it, is real.
Well, then just how sleazy do we as the consumer want it? For instance, the act that may have, you know, taken down numerous Rupert Murdoch papers in the UK, you're familiar with the voicemail scandal, right?
Yes.
For those that don't know, a girl was missing and presumed dead, and the parents were leaving her voicemails and whatnot before they saw any of this. And I think, was it the Sun? It was one of Rupert Murdoch's daily papers.
The Sun or the Mirror? One of, yeah, I think it may have been the Sun.
Well, for the sake of argument, we'll say the son. What they did is they hacked into her cell phone, copied some of the messages from the parents, and then deleted them. So the parents then saw, oh my God, she's been checking her messages. She's still alive. She was dead the whole time.
Yes.
Now, that is just sleazy beyond sleazy, besides being illegal.
That's yet, why that paper isn't around anymore.
Yet those issues with the hacked voicemails were their best-selling of all time. Clearly the audience went, I need to know what's in the voicemail!
Yep.
You're just feeding this. How low do they have to sink before you go, dude, too far?
I don't know. We haven't seen it yet.
That's the part that worries me the most, Scott.
It doesn't worry me. They're not going to be in my bedroom.
You don't know that. You could get famous.
Not going to happen.
You know, then it also comes, sometimes this celebrity culture, it changes people. You know, it changes the celebrities themselves. Or kind of makes them hypocritical, even if they may have always been like this. For instance, Michael Moore. Michael Moore, you know how he's this big bastion of the people and fighting for the people and your everyday person.
Super liberal, yeah.
You realize that when he's on tour or shooting somewhere, if he wants to eat at like a pizza place, he has the place shut down so he can eat in peace without being bothered by people. Because
right.
I am so important that I don't want people bothering me. You will shut your whole business down because I am Michael fucking Moore. That kind of shit is more common than it's not. Nichelle Nichols, this is back when Star Trek was entering syndication in the late 80s. I've seen the video of it. It's from one of the stations we used to work at. This is obviously before we worked there. She came and did some local promos. You know, they were going around the country. Hey, Star Trek's back in syndication. Star Trek Next Generation's on the air. They said on camera or when, you know, somebody was around, she was so nice and so sweet. As soon as it was just her, and, you know, talking to one of the employees, it was, you know, that classic, where's my latte and get me this and do this. And it's just like she felt entitled to the world because she's fucking Uhura from Star Trek, man.
Well, part of that I can understand. Now, here's my take on a lot of that. Again, we get famous. We make a Lost in the Static movie. It's a huge hit. Boom. We're multi-billionaires overnight. If I'm dealing, and I've had days like this, even on Facebook now, just with listeners to the show where a particularly heated episode or something will air and I will get chat message after chat message, after question,
usually they
after question,
dump me.
After question, you know, they're either making fun of you or they had a question for me or something like that. And it's just nonstop. And
I like
after,
interacting with our listeners. I do too.
I do too for the most part. But there are times, especially when it's a particularly heated episode, when I have to shut the computer down and I have to walk away. Now, as a celebrity as big as Nichelle Nichols, for some reason it came out Nichelle Williams. I almost said Christy Nichols, but that's totally different.
She's white.
Yes, I know. But nonetheless, for somebody like Nichelle Nichol or Shatner, okay, they deal with this all the time. They go out to eat with their family, and you end up with a fan that walks up. And even on a very nice interaction, it's still an interruption. It's still
distracting.
When they finally get in an element where they're comfortable with the people that they work with,
their
day
true
after
personality
day.
Comes
yeah
out.
I don't think it's their true personality. I think it's the frustration that they are not allowed to express to other fans or on camera. The frustration with their situation comes out and they get demanding,
which is ridiculous.
Not necessarily.
I have a thing with ego, and I know that sounds hypocritical.
I'm going to give
people
them...
think I have an ego. You know me. I actually don't. I'm actually kind of self-loathing,
lies,
really.
Lies, lies. The man has a head as big as my office.
You know what I mean. I have an issue with ego. I can't stand people that think, you know what? Because I made this movie, I'm better than you.
I don't think it's ego, though. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's ego. I don't think that they think that they're better than, okay, for the most part. There's a few out there that, Shatner, that, that yes, it is ego, Shatner. And, but I think for the most part, it's just frustration. I don't think it's their true personality coming out. Like I said, I think that they've put on the smile for so long that, God, it feels good to frown.
And see, I disagree with that. I think it's them being a bitch, being an asshole, and just going, I don't have to pretend I'm not anymore.
I don't think, I don't think it's that. I think it's the frustration that they're not allowed to express in other places. It's just coming out and, you know, again, hanging out with celebrities at Dragon Con and stuff, Dawn has, she's seen that deal of smile for the camera, be a nice guy. Oh, I can relax and be a dick.
Do you want to tell the Kevin Sorbo story or not?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But they go from being the smiley nice guy. Oh, I can relax and be a dick and I treat people badly, you know, to the side. And then a little bit later, they kind of perk back up again and they can relax in their element and they're not interacting with fans. And even, you know, even again, in talking to friends out in LA that are PAs and stuff like that and that are involved in the industry, they go, that's just part of it. They're a dick for a little while and they get it out of their system and then they're really, really cool to hang out with.
Well, okay. Like I said, I still disagree with you, but look at like Mel Gibson. And I'm not talking about the Jews stuff or anything like that, okay?
Okay, sugar tits.
I hope you get raped by a pack of niggers. You're not talking about that kind
Thanks,
of stuff.
Thanks, I love you too, dick.
But like the Maccabees blow up. You've heard the where's my script for the Maccabees? Let's fucking eat! And all that shit. You've heard all that, right?
Right.
I think that's more the real Mel Gibson.
See, but, you know? But again, I'm speaking for the most part. Like I said, for the most part, for every Tom Hanks that's out there, there's a William Shatner or...
But these people are actors by trade. They know when to turn it on and when not to.
Not necessarily. And it's... You know, it's one thing of being in an acting environment, either on stage or, say, holding a microphone or having cameras and lighting and an obvious movie set around, knowing when to turn it on there versus going to dinner with your family.
But then there's even like on the movie set. There was a entertainment reporter I'm not going to name who I'm friendly with. Who he was on the set of a couple of horror movies in the last couple of years. And he wasn't supposed to know this, but because he was scheduled to be on set, there was this little text memo sent out, press on set, best behavior. That,
right.
You know, make sure you do not blow up. Make sure if, that the PAs are not drunk. And that basically, even then, they're putting on a facade for the press, that they're not being real. If the star is going to freak out because their lighting's wrong, they're like, okay, the press is here. I got to act. I got to pretend I'm nice. I got to not freak out.
Well, that's
press on set is the worst thing you could do.
No, that's not. That's just like, all right, working at the restaurant. When I had the big wigs from restaurant chain corporate come in, And even when I have bigwigs from my local franchisee, from the restaurant group that owns it, when they come in, do I run my restaurant just like I do for every other day, or do I scrub every inch of that motherfucker clean first?
I'm of the philosophy that you should be doing it like that anyway.
You would, yes, but we take the extra step. It's. You know, yes, we always, it's always clean. It's always well, nice for eating. It's always good for customers. You know me. I wouldn't do that. But when I know that the bigwigs are coming in, I'm taking out all of the equipment, pulling it aside, cleaning underneath, cleaning every nook and cranny of that motherfucker to the point that I went back to the doors on the bottom. On the bottom of the doors into the restroom are these things called kick plates. Kick plates are there to be kicked so that you can kick the door open or whatever. They get,
it's that piece of metal across the bottom.
Exactly. And they get dirty. Wisconsin winters, they look like shit most of the time. I went back with steel polish and polished up those kick plates.
But then don't you think the corporate bigwigs know that you're putting on an extra face for them? Which is why I like surprise, whether it's in the restaurant, like a surprise visit that you didn't know about, or like on the set of a movie when all of a sudden a reporter just shows up and they don't know he's a reporter. I like that kind of thing because that gets the honest reaction. And you see the honest reaction of like the star that's going to melt down or whatnot.
But see, I'm not quite sure what the honest reaction is. I really don't, because I don't see this star in their home, because I don't know them as a friend. I'm never going to get the honest reaction. I'm always going to get that. There's always going to be that wall of celebrity until either I reach their level of fame or until we're completely, you know, we're on the lake in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, and nobody knows we're there. There's always going to be a wall of performance. And what I think, I think even Christian Bale blowing up at the lighting guy that was recording a while back, and he's like,
oh,
good for you, good for you. I think that is, that veil of performance is able to walk, you're right, it's able to come down a little bit, and he is able to express frustration that he can't, it's, like I've told
him, if he knew he was being recorded in that instance, he wouldn't have done that.
Exactly.
That's why I think that was a true and honest reaction.
I don't think that was a true and honest reaction, because I think that that was...
If you know you're
being taped.
Okay,
I may not be able to yell at my boss when I have a shitty day, but if we're recording a show, you can come in and I can yell at you and treat you like shit and feel better.
And then usually,
I've done that.
And then usually I'm like, dude... fucking get over it.
Yeah, and I've done that. And that's what I think a lot of this star dickishness behavior is. And that's, again, and getting back to our original deal, that's what the paparazzi thrive on. I think that the paparazzi is Steve Irwin poking the alligator with a stick until the alligator bites him.
Oh, absolutely, because they want a provocation. They're not going to sell a photo like a Kid Rock talks about in the celebrity thing. They're not going to sell a photo of me driving to go and get gas. No, what they try and do is they always bring up, hey, did you hear Pam Anderson's getting married again? And hey, this, and they're trying to piss me off so I do something that they can get a photo of. That he's like, that's not true, though.
That's right.
Because it's all fabricated.
That's what we get. That's what I think your reaction is. Honestly, that's what I think that Christian Bale blowing up at the lighting guy, I think that was. I think Christian Bale had been poked with a stick one too many times. And it just so happened that, okay, this lighting guy... I can yell at him, and it's probably not going to make a big difference in his life. I'm going to explode. That's what I think a lot of this is.
And see, I think and weirdly enough, it's a symbiotic relationship, because look at how many superstars we have nowadays that are superstars because of the paparazzi, but yet they hate the paparazzi. So isn't it kind of a symbiotic relationship that both sides are where it's an unhealthy relationship?
Like, for instance, the Kardashians?
Like that, or even the fact that, like, with Tracy Morgan's car accident a month or two ago, you know, he wasn't killed, but...
Right. Close.
Wasn't the driver killed? I think somebody died. Somebody
in there, yeah.
But TMZ... had this, and I know you're going to disagree with me on this. They said, we have a journalistic right to show the video of the car crash and Tracy Morgan's body being hauled out and worked on by paramedics. We have a journalistic right to do this.
And technically, they do, but
I don't. Even the most of the paparazzis in the documentary don't. Some of them are like, "I'm a journalist." I love this comparison. One guy says, "I'm a journalist, the same as a guy in Afghanistan on the front line. It's just a different front line." I'm going, "Oh, fuck you, fuck you! You have demeaned the term journalism worse than Rupert Murdoch ever could have."
No, I agree with you on that one. But technically, they do have that right if it happens in public space. I mean, it's shitty, but the moment we start going, okay, you have that right because you're here, but you don't have that right because you're here, that's when things get murky.
So where's the line then? Let's say Tracy Morgan died in that car crash, for the sake of argument. He died, and the body they were hauling out was not him to be worked on paramedics, but his dead body. Would they still have had the ghoulish responsibility to go, you know what, people want to see this?
I think if somebody would have paid him for the photograph, yeah.
If they could have gotten photos of Robin Williams' body hanging from the ceiling, I know people would want to see that. At the same time, go, oh, that's awful. Oh, let's have a closer look. That's the weird dichotomy that we have here.
Yeah.
And I don't get that. You know, I remember seeing the photographs of David Carradine's corpse when he autoerotic hung himself. And I remember, because it was it Thailand? It was some Asian country he died in, wasn't it?
I don't remember, honestly. I apologize.
And it was something about they have very strict laws about this kind of thing. That's why it took almost a year after his death before the photos leaked out. Why are other countries ahead of us when it comes to this? That they say, no, we're not going to be fucking ghouls about this.
No, because I don't think that they're ahead of us. All right?
We're definitely not ahead of them.
Let's okay. The celebrity side of it and the entertainment news side of it is reprehensible. It's horrible, horrible shit. But I don't think that other countries are ahead of us, because at the same time as the celebrity crap is going on, we also have journalists in Afghanistan and on the front lines of war and in the front, you know, involved in politics. There are political paparazzi as well. They're a whole fuck lot more respectful for the most part, but they're there, and they are, you know, you've got lawyers watching the laws, and you've got this, what they call the Fourth Estate, watching our government and having the right to watch our government closely doing what it does. And when something screwed up, it's supposed to be the press's job to get that news, real news, out to the people. Okay, hold it. With that comes the shitty side. And if you start drawing a line for one, you must draw, in this country, under our Constitution, you must draw the same line for the other. And once you start doing that, things get murky, things get dangerous, and you end up with governments like the UK, where the people are free, but the press is not.
Right, I get that. But then we also have this weird want, to go back to my initial question from the beginning of the show about the politics versus, you know, why we don't care about politics. Look at what happened. I can't remember if it was MSNBC or CNN, that they were having a live discussion about the debt ceiling and defaulting on the debt ceiling earlier this year, something that would have affected every single American and the country to its core. Okay.
And we cut in live.
And we cut in live because Justin Bieber's been caught drunk driving. They cut off the senator and said, "I'm sorry, we have breaking news."
Then stop and ask yourself this. Which one gets viewers?
That's the problem. That the Justin Bieber thing would. That's the problem.
We agree.
The problem is Justin Bieber is more important than... Well, okay, even that. Remember when Paris Hilton went to jail 2-3 years ago? She had to do a quick stint, or maybe yes, it was Lindsay Lohan or something, and that was on all the TV news sites. And that she was complaining about some of the conditions in there. All of a sudden, everyone was, oh my God, jail's such a bad place. Paris Hilton wasn't treated well. Why does it take a celebrity of any caliber in a positive or negative light to bring attention to something? Because I remember when it came to breast cancer, when Sheryl Crow was diagnosed with breast cancer, after she did her breast cancer PSA, they said they had, the American Cancer Society had an inundation with women going, you know what? I probably should get checked. Why does it take a celebrity to get you to do something you should have done anyway?
Because they're the ones we listen to.
So if just a regular PSA about some woman you've never seen before that says, I got breast cancer and it could happen to you too, please get a mammogram, they go, pfft. None. Sheryl Crow says it. Sheryl Crow said it. Shit, I got to do it.
Or even more recently, she played Tomb Raider. Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she had her double mastectomy. That shocked a lot of people. It's because people... And as for why, I'm not the... We need a psychologist to come online and tell us why.
Because I don't understand that.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, regular PSAs, we tune them out after a while, especially, I'm sorry, but the most recent anti-smoking ones. Where we
keep
have
in mind,
kids,
I don't have cable, so right. I don't think I've seen them.
We have people, you know, they're like, I'll take a pack of menthols, and the big thing comes on and says, what are menthol cigarettes really costing you? And the dude puts a pair of pliers up on the counter, and the guy pulls his teeth out. And you know, pays in teeth for menthol cigarettes. Or you have the ones that have the hole in their neck, the stoma.
The tracheotomy.
Well, it's a stoma at that point.
Okay.
And they talk about how you can't face the shower or you'll drown. And you have to do special stuff, and it's shock tactics is what it is. The problem is, when it comes to stuff like that, then we tune it out after a while, especially if it's shocking, because we don't want to deal with it. It's scary.
And something like that should be.
And when it comes to celebrity, for instance, Robin Williams' death, you and I talked about depression on an episode of LITS because Robin Williams committed suicide. Because if it can happen to the untouchable, if depression can happen to the funniest clown on earth, then it can happen to me. And that's, you know, regular people, they're like, I don't know who the hell they are. They're not part of my life. I don't care. Celebrities, we've invited them into our home. They've entertained us. They've been a part of our family, psychologically speaking. That's why people listen. And I guess that's why people are willing to pay photographs, you know, pay photography. I want to see Tom Hanks wiener. Go out to the beach and find me a picture of Tom Hanks wiener.
Well, then why, speaking of Tom Hanks wiener, why then do we love the negative over the positive? For example, the paparazzi are on record like, you know what, if Kim Kardashian just goes to this restaurant and eats dinner, I'm not going to sell that. Now, if she flips out at the waitress, that I'm going to sell. They want the negative. They don't want a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger governing California. They want a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger all fat and blubbery at the beach. So they want to tear them down. They only want the negative.
They want to tear them down. They also want these famous people with tons and tons of money and where everything in their life has gone their way and they haven't had to really work a day in their life, because let's face it, when it comes to the famous, they never work for anything. It's handed to them. That's how a lot of people think. That's how a lot of people, especially, that's not reality at all. I mean, talk to Tom Hanks. He's one of the hardest working actors, and there was a while there.
Mike Nelson of MST3K, the day before he got the job on Mystery Science Theater as an intern, he was waiting tables.
Yeah.
Do you think any of the people who he waited tables for went, that's Mike Nelson, a year later?
No. But that's the thing is, we want to the people that don't think, which is the vast majority of people in this in the U.S., want to tear them down because God and fortune have smiled upon them and they haven't worked a day and it was just handed to them. In some cases, that's true.
Like the Kardashians.
Yeah. Like the Kardashians, like Justin Bieber, where, granted, if you watch his old YouTube stuff, he is a talented musician. He's got a good voice. I'm sure he's worked on that. However, he was much too young, and he was discovered, and it was kind of handed to him. Britney Spears, who was raised in the Disney system and came right out of the Mickey Mouse Club into being our little virgin slut pop star type deal. She was molded. Some celebrities were molded, and they didn't really work, and they didn't really have a choice, and they break. Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears being perfect examples. Okay? People want to see that break because it takes this perfect little virgin slut and tears them down to our level. Oh my God, she is one of us.
Well, this was even satirized in Natural Born Killers. It was a deleted scene, but if you watch the DVD or the VHS Laserdisc extras, you know who the Hun brothers are, right?
Yes.
Those big barbarian brothers from the B-movies in the late 80s, early 90s. Well, at one point, they're playing themselves in the movie, getting killed by Mickey and Mallory, when Mickey and Mallory recognize them. And they're like, oh, man, we love your movies. Here, you know, we're not going to kill you. Let's get a tourniquet. I don't think I nicked the bone here. And it was like, you know, my God, you guys are famous. So we're not going to kill you. That was Oliver Stone, I think, very adequately satirizing that sort of celebrity culture, isn't it? That I'm not even going to kill you because I liked your movies, man.
Sure.
And I think that's kind of sickening, really. You know, it really does kind of sicken me. Like, I was watching the E! True Hollywood Story on All in the Family. And what was kind of funny was how Rob Reiner said, because, you know, he's bald in real life, but, you know, Mike Stivic, he wore a wig. Everyone else would get mobbed when that show started to become a hit. If he took his wig off,
sure,
nobody recognized him. And he's like, they're all getting mobbed. I'm going out and getting a pizza. It's great. You know, he was kind of like, fuck this celebrity shit. I'm only a celebrity when I'm Mike Stivic.
Well, I mean, look, Shatner can take his toupee off and be left alone.
No, he's still Shatner. He still looks like Shatner. You can't get away from that.
And Shatner would never take his toupee off. But it's you know, look, if you take a supermodel that would get mobbed on a photo set or anything like that, take her out of makeup, take her away, and minus the paparazzi that follow them like leeches, I wouldn't doubt it if they go out in public and aren't recognized all that much.
So when you become a supermodel, do you get your powers like right away, or do your powers gradually come to you?
No, they gradually.
Or is it just, I'm a supermodel now, now I can shoot lightning out of my hands? Or am I really taking the super thing too far?
You're taking the super thing a little bit too far. But I was
trying to be funny.
But, you know, they go through this thing called superty. It's kind of like puberty.
It's an awkward phase, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a very awkward phase.
But my final thoughts then would be, I don't like celebrity culture. I don't abide by it. I don't buy these magazines. I don't even read them if I'm in the dentist's office or anything. I'll go for the goddamn motorbiking magazine before I go for a People or a Star. Yeah, but so I see these things everywhere. But it just sickens me a little bit that these things sell so much more than a magazine that might actually be telling you something relevant.
Ah, I agree.
You know, it's like on The Simpsons, Kent Brockman. A certain brand of soft drink is known to be fatal. We'll tell you after the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's not important. The movie is more important than this thing that could physically harm you. That's my final thoughts on this. Yours?
We agree on a lot of things, and I have a feeling that if there wasn't all of this pressure from the paparazzi, if there wasn't all of the incentives to have the paparazzi do what they do, I think we would see a very much more respectable side of celebrity, like we did prior to the paparazzi. Granted, it was a staged civility, but it was a civility. And it was one that a lot of people pine for. Frank Sinatra was involved in a lot of shady shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he was not the most likable guy in the world. He was most certainly human. You didn't see it.
Because he had an image to help.
And people respected that. I hate to say it, but people also respected his mob connections.
I'll finish this out by saying, if you guys want a fascinating story, look into how long it took for Rock Hudson to be outed as gay. It's a fascinating web of lies and trades.
Thank you for joining us this week. We will see you guys next time. Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows. 3.